Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation, Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back. It is Friday.
Happy Friday.
We are an hour into Dune Part 2.
You're speaking a minute too soon, buddy.
This is episode 60.
Yeah, but we're talking about minute 59 to 60.
Yeah, but we also, our first episode was minute 0 to 1.
You know what? That is how math works. You're right. I'll leave this in. I'm not afraid.
Don't fucking check me on this shit.
I'm not afraid of looking like an idiot.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I got this.
I have over 200 episodes of a Dune Minute podcast in my back pocket. That should speak for itself.
It should.
Big old idiot over here.
We're an hour in.
Woo! An hour in, man. We did it.
It's crazy.
You wanna shut it off now?
No, we have a guest next week.
Yeah.
They're
a lot better than us too.
Yeah, so. We can't just tell Alicia, we quit. Can't do that.
Especially
for the minutes that she has, because that's when our Alia taking over Jessica theory really fucking goes crazy.
Fair enough.
So like
Okay, fine.
Let's lean into it a little more, though, because we're starting this minute off with Jessica or Alia or both talking.
Yeah.
And we're ending this minute with some post-nut clarity.
Yep.
I don't know how to describe it other than that, so we're just going to keep it as is.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah, all right. Great. Oh, God. So yesterday we left off with Jessica, you know, being in her quarters, walking around the small room. With the dialogue from one or both of her or Alia saying, "Our task in the north is nearly done. They believe in Paul. Now we go south. There are millions of fundamentalists there. They will protect him when he comes."
Yeah. And all the while on screen, we are getting this really creepy, eerie shot of a very blurry figure. Clearly there's a cloak blowing in the wind, but it's walking towards the camera.
On the super like rocky, not sandy desert.
Yeah, too. Just a very barren landscape. So
where's my cow skull that's completely like...
Oh, you just bleached from the sun?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's there somewhere.
My tumbleweeds. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. We only get a little narrow view, and it's only like a 3 or 4 second little vision or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because then we go back to another... show don't tell of a time jump. Jessica is much more pregnant now.
Yeah, she stands up and she kind of parts her robe a little bit to show her very pregnant belly.
Yep.
And then we get our favorite shot, internal POV. So we get to see Alia, and I'm going to show my ignorance here for a second. I'm not super familiar with all the intricacies of pregnancy. I don't think the fetus's eyes are supposed to be open right now. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
In all the pictures that I've seen throughout my life, the baby's eyes are always closed.
Yeah.
In the womb. Alia's eyes are for sure open because she's blinking.
Well, she's reacting to light that is going through Jessica's skin. That
part makes sense.
It would make sense if they had like a giant surgical lamp just pointed directly at her.
No, because you ever taken like a flashlight and shown it, like pressed it to your
with
palm?
With a flashlight. Jessica's standing in this dark ass room.
Well, okay, what I was getting at is the skin of the belly is a lot more thin than the skin of your hand. You can still see the...
The skin of the belly is not thinner than the skin of your hand.
Okay, maybe I should say...
Because you have...
I should say the distance between the baby and the outside of the belly is not as thick as your hand, the palm of your hand.
Yeah, it is. Because you have...
I could be very wrong.
You have the skin, you have a layer of fat, you have all of the abdominal muscles... You have then the
that's very true. No,
uterine
right.
lining.
Right.
You have the lining of the placenta, and then the amniotic fluid to like dissipate that light as well.
John, we talked about this earlier. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
All right. So, what you just said sounds correct.
The point is that the light shining on Alia, I think, is only there to show us, hey, Alia is grown. quite a bit, and she's reacting to this light and everything. But also, inside this amniotic fluid, just like suspended in there, are flakes of spice still.
Yep.
So like, she's, if you thought Paul was getting hit hard with spice when they were in the still tent,
maybe she's got a little tiny glow globe in there with her. That'd be fun.
Just a super tiny one.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It's been a minute since we've had a glow globe.
I know. We're just trying to figure. I'm just trying to see them where they're not there.
I miss them.
She blinks her eyes, and the voiceover again says, "The Kwisatzhatarach will be born in the south." Now, I don't quite understand that line.
I think that's a Alia line.
Yeah.
Almost like certain that that's an Alia line.
Yes. Now, if they're referring to Paul, Paul has clearly already been born, but I guess it's referring to a possible rebirth.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yep. So we get some real ominous music and we fade to black.
We do a fade to black, but we still see the speckles of spice.
Yeah.
In that fade to black.
A nice little transition.
Yeah. And then we hard cut to like the moment that Paul and Chani have finished fucking. So it's not quite PG-13, but we're also not quite, you know,
it's heavily implied.
Yeah. It's more than heavily implied. They are like on top of each other and breathing heavily.
Yeah. I mean, faces touching, heavy, you know, breathing. There's some sweat involved, and for all we know, they could have been putting together some like IKEA furniture or something.
I mean, it is very difficult work, to be fair.
Yeah. So who knows?
It's a stressful task.
Yeah, well, it's the test of any true relationship.
It really is.
So we get a little conversation here, and it's, we're rounding out the last like 20 seconds of this, of the minute. Mm-hmm. So Chani says to Paul, "Will you always be with me?" And Paul takes about half a beat too long to answer this, in my opinion. But that question that he's asked,
catching his breath.
Yeah, that's very fair.
The fucking lack coffee table is a son of a bitch to put together. I think the lack is a coffee table.
I don't know. So, and he responds with, "As long as I breathe." Now, that question that Chani asked him, "Will you always be with me?" It sounded like a question that, yes, she was genuinely asking, but something that is like almost ritualized.
Yeah.
It flowed in kind of a sing-songy way that it seemed like I'm trying to draw a comparison. I'm not thinking of one right now, but it just sounded like something that is like a customary thing to say after you get done boning down.
She fucked up because she didn't ask him if he would still love her if she was a worm.
Oof. And I think on Arrakis, that question has a different context.
Yeah.
Would you love me if I was a 400 meter long, giant toothy orifice?
Would you love me if our son one day became a giant, you know, 27 meter long, several thousand pound worm that became a tyrant that ruled for 3,500 years and was so fat that he needed a elevation platform to like move him around?
Doesn't have the quite the same ring in Jacob's.
You don't know that.
That's very true. we did know earlier that Stilgar,
it could be like a Wayne's World situation where it's a like one syllable word that just translates out to an entire sentence. Like
I was
that.
About to say that we got evidence of that when Stilgar said, "This is the final test," but he only said one word in Jacobsa.
Yeah.
So there is precedent.
Yeah.
So, Paul says, "As long as I breathe." And then he waits a beat and continues, and he asks her what's wrong. Chani responds with a kiss and rolls off of him. And Paul doesn't give up on his question. He goes, "Chani.
Chani, what the fuck?"
Yeah. And then she very cryptically goes, "There will be trouble." And Paul says, "What are you talking about?" And she doesn't respond to this. And then he actually does say, "Chani."
Chani.
Did you pick up on that, like the elongation of that word?
Yeah.
That was a fun little read from Timothy Chalamet. and explicitly asked her again, what do you mean? And she responds with, the way they look at you, they worship you.
They worship you now.
They worship you now. And Paul thinks about this for a second and he sighs, and that is right where our minute ends, right then. So seems like he knows and he understands, but he doesn't seem to be too upset about it. In this moment that we've seen, I did not pick up like, yeah, I was afraid of that kind of vibes from him.
There's no, oh shit moment.
Yeah. I feel like he was more concerned with how does he deal with that fact and Chani at the same time.
Yeah.
Not that he is upset about them starting to worship.
How do I be worshipped by an entire race of people, but also still keep my girlfriend? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, we've all been there.
It's a problem we deal with every day.
Yep. I mean, if I had a nickel, John.
Shai Hulud gives his greatest battles to his toughest warriors. To his toughest Fedaiken.
Smooth dunes have never made an experienced sand rider.
Oh, God.
So,
speaking of Shai Hulud.
Well, okay. I don't think I have anything. There's not really much from the books else to say here. We've mentioned many, many times that Book Chani and Movie Chani are very different. Book Chani seems to be super cool with them worshiping him. Concerned at the lengths that it goes to, but overall fine with it.
Sure.
We're still in that divergence of the two characters. And you said you have nothing else for Martin Soul, right?
Martin Soul's done for the week.
All right, cool. Well, let us get into our Shai Hulud ratings.
Yes. Speaking of Shai Huluds.
I'm going to go first, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I thought this was a fine week.
Okay.
I obviously love the sand or the worm riding. That's a high point in the movie. I remember seeing it in theaters for the first time, being pumped.
The hearing the all day cookie dough in the theater.
It's great.
In that moment, because our reveal event was IMAX.
Yeah.
That we went to. So it was like the IMAX visuals, but also the IMAX sound. And just like where we were sitting, we were like directly under one of the speakers. So it was just whole time.
It was intense. Yeah.
But like, holy shit.
Yeah. This was a big, big moment.
Chills. Yeah. Even now, rewatching it, like chills, hardcore.
Yeah. So that was great. I love being able to dive more into the Alia / Jessica theory that we have.
It's good to see Jessica again. It's been
absolutely it is. So I'm gonna have to go 6.5 on this one. Like, it was good, not the best, because I would have liked to have seen the conversation with Stilgar that we get on top of the worm to start really elucidating or start giving screen time to that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Now the only reason it's not like a huge deal is because I know we're gonna get it later.
We're going to get it tomorrow or next week.
Yeah. So I'm not concerned about it. It was a little bit of a departure from the books, but you know, that's to be expected. 6.5, I could be convinced to go to 7 if I needed to.
You were a bit lower than me.
Okay.
I give this one a 7.5 or an 8.
Okay.
Just because like the whole sand riding sequence, super badass. Like, this is a pivotal moment in the movie. And You know,
I'm going to go up to 7 just because we got so much hole this week.
We did get hole.
Yeah,
7. We got hole and pulling on worm skin. No, but like, super pivotal moment. I thought it was incredibly well done. The sound design, once again, like, it won an Oscar for a reason.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see Jessica and Alia again. I would say like 7.5.
Okay.
So
cool. Well, now, we do have a visual representation that you typically come in higher on your Shai Hulud ratings than I do.
Yeah, so this past week was pretty big for us. We had our 1 year anniversary of the Dune Minute. That was episode 37. And then episode 39 was our 200th episode in total.
Yep, and we did
including all of our summer schools and you know other Dune Prophecy episodes and everything.
We did a big stats dump that day.
Mm-hmm. And we also got a little bit of a look into some of the statistics behind the Dune Minute podcast from the outside in. Dune Navigator Martin went through the grueling task of listening to, what did he say it was, 45 hours of Dune Minute podcast?
Well, yeah, up and so that was just for the first movie.
Yeah.
Was 45 hours and some change.
Or 18 and a half times of watching the movie.
Yeah, yeah, which is crazy.
But he went and tracked all of our Shai Hulud ratings across the entire movie.
Yep.
So we could see what you rated and what I rated and everything and then get an average.
Yep, that's true.
Except for the, like, 2 weeks that we forgot to, either one or both of us forgot to give ratings. But
yeah, well, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. So, yeah, I think it is official. You tend to rate higher than I do.
Maybe I just like Dune more than you.
It could be. Could be.
Yeah.
Or I like to hold back on my Shai Huluds. You know, I'm not just out here giving them away for free like you damn socialists. All right? Movie's got to work.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
So stupid. Okay, anyways.
Well, next week is another big week for the Dune Minute. We have our second guest.
Yep.
Alicia from the Lorehounds. She'll be joining us for episodes 61 through 65.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited to talk about these. We hinted towards them a little bit on yesterday's episode and maybe today's as well. Honestly, I don't even remember the last 20 minutes. but we're going to be diving head first into our Alia, Jessica, who's in control theory.
Yeah, good. I am so pumped for that. So let's go ahead, wrap it up, and we'll be back next week.
As always, you can find the Dune Minute online. On Blue Sky, we are at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com to get in touch with us. We will be back next week with a guest. We look forward to seeing you then.
Yes, we will see you.
Shut the fuck up.
We will see each and every one. All right, bye.